part, Cemetery, which is on the Isle of Wight. Never been there. I have stood near Bournemouth on the coastline and moved out towards the Isle of Wight. I haven't been there, perhaps you have, but in Newport Churchyard on the Isle of Wight, there is a grave, and it is there that Elizabeth, the daughter of Charles I, is buried. There is a marble monument that was erected there sometime after her death by the late Queen Victoria. And that marble monument that was erected by the Queen records how the Princess Elizabeth died. She asked some of you who may well know this, she was in Carisbrook Castle. She had been a prisoner there for a long time. She was alone, and she had been separated from all that on earth was dear to her, apart from her Bible. And one morning, they found her dead, with her head leaning on her open Bible. And it was open at the passage that we read just this evening there, where we read the words, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now there is a female figure at that grave, and the figure there is of a woman that is leaning her head on a marble book. And on that marble book, this very text is engraved. And what a sermon it preaches to all who go to that graveyard. It shows to men and women, whoever they are and from whatever background they come, that no natural station in life guarantees happiness and rest. The life of Elizabeth was a topsy-turvy one, to say the least. But it also shows every individual that would visit that place. And this is the main lesson of it all. That rest is found in Christ alone. I believe that Queen Elizabeth, Queen Victoria, had those thoughts in her mind when she gave instruction for that marble monument to be put there to mark not only the grave of Elizabeth, but how she died. And the fact that her Bible was open at this passage, when she died. What a passage it is, men and women. Now, after the early invitation in verse 28, where Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," he goes on there to speak about yokes, and he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, Jesus was speaking to folk who knew something about yokes. Different Bible commentators will strongly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, being a carpenter by trade, was very often involved in the making of yokes and in the making of ploughs for the farming community. But the folk that he was speaking to were not familiar with yokes merely from an agricultural scene, but also from the experience of their own life. Now they were already yoked to something, and so are you. And the yoke, I'm sure you're aware of what a yoke is. A yoke was like a wooden bar that lay across the necks of two oxen. It was fastened underneath, and it linked those two oxen together. So whenever the Lord was saying to them, "Take my yoke upon you," they right away might think, "Well, this man knows a bit about yokes. He's made a few in his time." And then they would think of the farming scene. And then as he would go on speaking to them, and they may recall things that he'd said to them on other occasions, this would be a message that would be very pointed. And not only very pointed, but very plain. hard bow, don't these people? Very often there were men and women who had heavy yokes. Yokes that were unpleasant. Yokes that were hard to bear. Some of them were yoked to religious practice. He knew that for them this was a burdensome thing. Over there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. And it's the verse 4. This is concerning those who would be peddlers of false religion. It says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders." It's always where the yoke goes. "But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." He knew that because of religious affiliation and practice, there were people who perhaps had come to realize that their religion was nothing more than a heavy yoke. Something that was miserable, uncomfortable, and did nothing to help them in any way. Over there in Acts chapter 15, and it's the verse 10, it says there, again, a similar situation. "Now therefore, why think ye gone to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" You think of the yoke of trying to stick to a religious code or a custom, or trying personally to keep the law of God. It couldn't be done. So this religious practice was a yoke to men and women. And folks, it is still a yoke to many today. People who mean well. But really what they have is nothing more than something that is a burden for them, because it brings confusion. It is unpleasant when it comes to clearness for them. And it is hard to bear, because there's no satisfaction in it. But as he spoke to the people there, there were not only those who were yoked by religious practice, there were those who were yoked by the circumstances of their world at that time. And some of you will be aware tonight that at that time the Roman Empire was very powerful, and it placed upon ordinary citizens a burden that was far greater than they could bear. And that was a burden they had that was unbearable. And it was not before the zealots, as they were called, came and fought their corner, that they were to see in some degree at least this burden alleviated. They longed for freedom. And I wonder what burden 2015 has placed upon you, individual, here tonight. Because we're thinking here of your world in this year. And just as their world at that time was completely dominated by the Roman Empire, the very best that the world has to offer you tonight, the Bible calls it vanity. Vanity. Because there's no purpose in it, what the world offers. There's no love there, there's no comfort there, and there's no joy. There's just emptiness, nothing to substantiate the outlandish claims that the world makes, as it calls for your attention. And it's getting the attention of many people, giving their lives to chasing after that which can never bring contentment to their heart. There's no doubt when the Lord Jesus was speaking, not only to those who were yoked to religious practice, those who were yoked to the circumstances of their world at that time, but those who were plainly yoked to sin. People who were bowed down by a burden of guilt. Romans 7 and 14 speaks about it, and it says they were sold under sin, under the burden, under the yoke of sin, in a hopeless situation. And these were very real yokes, and to all such, the Lord Jesus Christ comes along to them here at the end of Matthew chapter 11, and as he's speaking to them, he She says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. In other words, you who are already yoked to something, take my yoke. Exchange your yoke for my yoke. In other words, hold out your empty hand and receive this yoke that I will give to you. And for you and I tonight, for any who are not saved, we're in a new year, but you can have a new yoke. And I don't know how much what you have been yoked to has affected your everyday life during 2014, but whatever that might be, if you're still not yoked to Christ, then you're yoked to the wrong thing. Very briefly tonight, I want you to notice three simple things about this yoke that the Lord Jesus Christ mentions. And I trust that as we do that, that you will be encouraged to be done with the old yokes. We only mentioned two or three there. Sin. Circumstances of life for you now. Religious affiliation, whatever that might mean to you. And take this yoke. I want you to notice first of all then, the partnership of this yoke. See what the Lord Jesus said there. He says here, take my yoke upon you. Dear friend, tonight, if you will repent of your sin and take this yoke which the Lord Jesus Christ offers to you, it will be Jesus and you. And you will be yoked to him inseparably. We mentioned earlier that the yoke was a wooden structure that was placed across the neck of two oxen, and it was fastened underneath, and they were yoked together. And the implication of the Lord Jesus Christ says to the multitude, take my yoke upon you. The implication is this. Here is the opportunity for persons to be united, to be linked to the very best company of all. And I wonder, does that appeal to you today? Paul, in some of his writings, illustrated this fellowship with the Lord Jesus, this being yoked to the Lord Jesus, very well. If you look with me there, please, first of all, in Romans chapter 6. Just want to look at Romans 6 and Romans 7. Look at Romans 6 there and what it says. This is to do with, really, with having a new master. In Romans chapter 6, there. We won't take time this evening to read all of the chapter. We'll just read in verse 13. It says, in Romans 6 and verse 13, neither ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now think about that and look at verse 22. It says, but now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. You see what it says in verse 20? For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Did you ever think of that tonight, unsaved person? Just as it is with you at this moment in time, you are free from righteousness. That's a very, very dangerous position to be in. Because when God comes and looks upon men and women, he looks for the righteousness of Christ to be found there. And if you're not saved, then you're free from righteousness. But here is a passage that shows us what it's like to be linked to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll read it again, verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto righteousness and the end everlasting life. There's absolutely nothing then here. When you look there, for instance, at verse 17, it says, But God be thanked that ye were servants to sin, but ye have obeyed him from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. In other words, men and women, you have listened to the word, you have heard the call to repentance, you have turned to the Savior, you have received a new master, and now you're linked to him. And that is where the Roman believers were. And that's where every Christian in this meeting tonight is. You are linked to him inseparably. Well, you've linked to him already. But he never And because he never changes, your union and my union with him will never change either. Paul used the illustration here of the new master and being linked to him. But if you look on there to chapter 7, he changes really the metaphor here from the new master to the new marriage. Look at verse 2. It says, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Here's another story of a new yoke. So Paul brings it out very, very clearly here to the church of Rome, and indeed to us, that this yoking together, this partnership in the yoke, you and the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are saved tonight, it's brought out under the metaphor here of the new master and of the new marriage. And it's all to do with loyalty and love. If you combine chapter 6 and 7, you have a picture here of loyalty and love, and that is happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's thousands of people in this land, and they've entered a new year, and they're determined to stay yoked to the things that I mentioned earlier on. Religious affiliation, those people sometimes can be very, very difficult to talk to. Some are yoked to the world and all of its pleasures and offerings and all of its tinsel and things that looks so good, and they're determined this year to chase after it for all their work, expend their energy, everything else they have as well. Maybe lose their character, lose their honor. All of these things chasing after the world and yoked to sin. And for some tonight, whenever you speak to them about the gospel, they view it with suspicion. You tell men and women that the Lord Jesus Christ made peace by the blood of his cross, and they can know that peace. They can know what it is to be brought into a union with him, to be yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ, if they will take this yoke. And men and women, they reject this message at every turn. And again, there are lots of people who've entered this year. They are fearful and dulled down by an awareness of unforgiven sin, but they're still not yoked to Christ. Why not? Because they've never taken the yoke. You see what it says there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. It says, "Take my yoke upon you." You may have read about it. You've heard about it. You may know other individuals, and they are at a moment in their life, they have taken this yoke. Things have changed. And now you have the best intentions in the world of taking this yoke. Well, up at this very moment in time, this Sunday evening, you haven't taken it. But you can take it. Here's an offer from the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Take my yoke upon you. New year and the new yoke. Well, I want you to notice here, not only the partnership in this yoke, notice the placing of this yoke. Let's read the verses again. It says there in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is one thing that is very notable about oxen that are yoked together and have been wearing the yoke. It is this, that they have been fed. Their neck has been worn, as it were, perhaps by a yoke that didn't fit very well. And the carpenter, he made the yoke that would fit generally to different oxen, but you and I would know that no two oxen, just like people, no two are exactly the same. And it would be put to the oxen, it would be fastened underneath, and they would be yoked together, and that would be it. Think of that verse from Proverbs 29 verse 1 where it says, "Ye that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck." The reference there is to the yoke on the oxen, where the neck would wear. And there would be this mark along the neck of the oxen where they had been yoked together. They would be frayed and hurt. But Christ showed it fits perfectly. He says here, because for my yoke is easy. Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, I looked up to see what he said about this, and this is what he's saying. He says, the yoke of Christ is lined with love and grace. The yoke of Christ is lined with love and grace. His yoke is easy. Every Christian tonight in this building will testify to that fact. If you were to take time in your Bible to look up in Exodus chapter 21, you will discover there that after 6 years, the slave was to be allowed to go free. But he could say, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my master. And it would be his decision whether he left or not, but he could opt to stay. And then he did. I mean, they were well looked after. He could feel that he was better with the master that he had. Again, look at the text. It says there, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when we think of that, when we think of if the shoulder becomes sore when you're working with the Lord, if the burdens become great, think of the love and think of the grace. And there's no master like him. And I know that when the enemy would fire his fiery darts at you, we tend to think, well, is there any real benefit in being yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there always is. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It is lined with love and grace for all those situations that the enemy would use to discourage you. You see, I mentioned earlier on there that the yoke, it brought the two oxen together. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ here says, take my yoke upon you, he wasn't going to hand over something to you and then walk away. But you were going to be united to him. And when you think of the oxen out in the field there, the farmer would go out, he would find these two oxen he wanted to use, he would get his yoke, and he would put it across their necks and strap it underneath, and that would mean two things. It would mean that they would walk together, and they would work together. And the Lord Jesus here was making this offer to people like me and you. He was saying, come with me, and we'll walk together. And we will work together. And brethren and sisters, if you're converted tonight, that means in everything that you seek to do for God, in the daily round, going to your work tomorrow morning, the Lord Jesus Christ will be walking with you. And whatever you seek to do in his work, he will be working with you because you, Christian, are yoked to him. We have all discovered that he is the very best master. Sometimes we have people testifying who didn't get saved until they were perhaps fairly well on in years, and they tend to feel, well, I wish I could have saved earlier. But I don't want to discourage you tonight if you're an older person and you're not saved, because in a remarkable way, if you come to the Lord, he's able to restore the years of the locust beaten, and able to give you usefulness for the rest of your life, whatever age you are. And I wonder tonight, are you one who has found the placing of the yoke? You find that it is easy and the burden is light. Now, I won't lie to you tonight, you come to Christ as you cross the barrier. And for some, it will be heavier than others. There are people, and they go to their place of work seeking to do the best they can and be hardworking citizens and do what they can for other people, and they face ridicule and hurtful. And maybe they're marginalized in situations where they could have been included. And they're looked upon as someone who means well, but they're just a little bit strange, and that is unfair. But that's part of the course. That's what it's like to be a Christian, to become a child of God. There's a cross to bear. There are battles to be fought with temptation. Battles to be fought in all sorts of ways, but the comforts of the gospel far outweigh the stress and strain of the battles and the weight of the cross. Why? Because as you, it's not grievous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. But dear unsaved person tonight, everything hinges on acceptance of this offer, which really is an offer of Christ. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, come and rest upon what I have achieved. Come and trust in these who have died for people like you. And of course, the promise of the word is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So we've noted there with you tonight the partnership of the yoke. He says, it's my yoke. The placing of the yoke is easy, and the burden is light. But then I want to mention finally the prosperity of his yoke. Remember just a few minutes ago there, we read a couple of verses over in Romans chapter 6 regarding the new master. Well, if you look again at that passage, you will see that the purpose for that was that there might be fruit unto holiness. If you look at it there, it says that you're no longer, you're not servants of sin, you're free from sin, but you're now servants of righteousness. And you read all through the verses there, you will see, for instance, in verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. A new master, the purpose here was that there might be that fruit unto holiness. And already you're worried tonight that if you were to come to the Lord, you can't go on and someone went on. Too much of a struggle now, you think, oh, I'm just so weak and I really can't make a good job of it. Well, that's true. The Lord Jesus Christ can make a good job of you. Because he is the master, not you. And the purpose that he saves people is that they will have fruit unto holiness. That more and more as time goes on, that there will be that victory over habits, even hard ones, that temptations that used to trip us up, that now we know how to handle them, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is with us in the yoke. He will help us with our yoke to him. Help us to bring that glory to his name through holiness in our lives as we are made more and more conformed to the image of himself. What about Romans 7, where we spoke there about the new marriage? Well, the purpose there in Romans 7 is that we might bring forth fruit unto God. Fruit unto God. We read the verses there earlier on, and I'm trying to think of where, yes, there it is, the end of verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the emotions of the sins which were by the law that work in our members should bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. It's all to do with bringing forth fruit, as it says at the end of verse 4, bring forth fruit unto God. What are you accomplishing at the moment in your sin? Are you bringing forth fruit unto holiness? No, you can't be. Turning over a new leaf is not bringing forth fruit unto holiness. That can only happen as you're under a new master, as you're yoked to Christ, as you take this yoke that is offered to you tonight. What about fruit unto God? Well, that's impossible. If we do not know the Lord, that can only happen. That is the outcome of abiding life. John 15, where the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. We already mentioned tonight being yoked together. What does it mean? It means walking together and working together. So the Lord Jesus Christ here, the first Sunday night of this new year, with all of its uncertainty, with all of its perhaps opportunity, even for you tonight, he comes along to you and he says, take my yoke upon you. Discard all of the other yokes that you've been yoked to for the earlier years of your life. Pick them all now and throw them to one side. He will even come to the very worst sinner and he'll say to them, would you like to be taken from the gutter and changed into the image of Christ? A yoke to me. You need to take this yoke. And again, there's someone even in the meeting carrying all the yokes that we mentioned. Religious interests. All that the world has to offer. Sin with all its promises. And tonight, these yokes being what they are, rather than the easy, as the Lord Jesus Christ is as a yoke, they're burdensome. They have you crushed. I think I told you the story here before, a very repetition of young people were doing an open air meeting and they saw a poor man. He been yoked to this, that, and the other. But up until that minute, he had not been yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the story of another young girl, some years ago now, who was heading out for a night with all of her friends down to the club. And they were young Christians, giving out invitations and seeking to speak to some of the people I've been in that sort of situation. And honestly, some of the language that young babies use is just beyond belief. Maybe 17, 18. But this young lady, she came down the street with her friends. She stopped and spoke with these young Christians. And as they spoke to her, she was a young lady who was yoked to anything. And you know, folks, the things that she was yoked to, they had her almost crushed and destroyed. And right there, in the middle of the street, even in front of her friends, she got down on her knees. She accepted the yoke. The Lord Jesus said to her, "Take my yoke upon me." And that's what he says to you tonight. You remember nothing else from this meeting. Remember that on the first Sunday night of this year, the Lord Jesus said to you, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Oh, you may have a way to go if you come to Christ, but as you listen to the Word and read the Word and commune with the Lord, you will grow in grace. "For I am meek and lowly in heart." Don't you be worrying about not being able to keep it. The Lord is meek and lowly in heart. It says, "You shall find rest on your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." New year, new yoke. What about you tonight? You're going to leave the building and go out with the old yokes. You're going to take this new yoke and go out knowing that you're yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who carries always the heaviest end of the burden, the one to whom, when you're yoked to him, you can never be separated ever again, the one who